Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to have DJ Foster in studio today. The NFL Combine is next week. I'm heading to the Combine, and I've never done the Combine. It's one of those things where Eric's gone every year. He's gone to Indianapolis. It is next week. So turning the page on the NFL calendar and actually the college calendar, because that's what we do here at sports360az.com. It's high school, college, pro, college, high school, no particular order, things that we see that just quite frankly are interesting to us. We don't have to go sit in research meetings and figure out how many clicks we're going to get. We just go do. That's what we are all about here. And faithful to the now, I think that's the best way to put it. So DJ Foster will join us. And then Bob Nightingale is going to be with us, one of my longtime guests on the show and someone I've known for, gosh, 25, 30 years. Bob and I go all the way back to the LA Times, San Diego County editions. And with spring training opening tomorrow, it's always good to catch up with Bob. So we'll have Bob Nightingale on with us. That comes up at 10:30. Football show tonight on television on Fox Sports Arizona. At 6, at 10, at 1 a.m. and 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, high school, college, pro, college, high school in the world of football. I think today is where we are today that's on my mind. So the best story in town is what happened at the Coyotes last night. I'll get into that later with Nathan Schoenfeld. That's as good as it gets. And had some people shoot me pictures saying, the guy looks like you. He's a banker. He gets a phone call and says, you got to be here to be on the bench for the Coyotes tonight as an emergency, the goalie situation. And so it doesn't get much better than that. I love that story. The NBA trade deadline, though, is this week. This should be a very heavy week for the Phoenix Suns here in town. It should be a very heavy week for the Diamondbacks. Their season tickets went on sale about an hour ago for individual games. So if you're looking to go to see the Diamondbacks, they get started tomorrow. There's not been a year of anticipation quite like this in a long, long time. And it's healthy in our environment. I don't like having just one team to sit and say is good, and the rest of the teams are completely off the radar or close to being irrelevant or just kind of sitting there stagnant. And I think if we look around town right now as to what's going on, I could go all the way through the college sports here and say I think we're in a really healthy upward trajectory. The college basketball season, Grand Canyon's had 20-plus wins. I think Bobby Hurley's doing the right thing. He's like in a sword fight with a piece of spaghetti over at ASU with the lack of players that he has, especially size-wise. I think on the college football front, it was a down year for ASU, but I do think Todd Graham has some interesting pieces coming back. Same thing with U of A. I think the Coyotes are heading in the right direction, in particular with news about their building, probably in the next month. Like in the next month, we're going to have all this building stuff involving the Suns, the Coyotes, the Diamondbacks. There's going to be all sorts of stories you're going to hear and read about as to who's doing the arms race to build an arena and what parts of the valley are going to be turned over in terms of dirt and who's lobbying in what cities. There's a lot going on that front behind the scenes. One team that is in decline, though, is there's no question, is the Suns. But this is one of those key moments for them. As much as I sit here day after day on this show and gnash my teeth about how miserable the situation is with them, there's always that point that you look at and say, okay, if they're going to start getting this thing turned around, and it takes a long time to get the Titanic turned around, then this coming week is the week. We haven't heard about any sort of discipline as of about 3-4 minutes ago when I started the show involving Markieff Morris. And we have not heard anything in regards to the Suns trying to pull deals off. To me, this is the week where let's find a way to convince Detroit some way, somehow. Let's find a way to convince Detroit to take Markieff Morris off our hands. It doesn't matter if we have to include a whole bunch of cars to send to Detroit, because that's what Detroit's known for. Anything to get him out of here. Because there's some players that are of interest, and there's teams that have a lot of draft picks. Like, I see Blake Griffin, who's out there, and I don't know if I'd want Blake Griffin here with the Suns. I don't know that. I don't know if his body is starting to break down. There's been some rumblings and whispers about that. I think his time in L.A. has to be over. Because the guy that he knocked out, That's somebody within your own team. That doesn't go well. It doesn't go well at all. A guy like Dwight Howard, Dwight Howard can't find a place to play basketball. Can't do it. Doesn't matter if it's Orlando, the Lakers, or Houston. It doesn't work out. He goes from place to place to place. Is Dwight Howard an emerging star in this league? And my answer to that is no. Is he a declining star in this league? And I think you can make the argument that, yeah, he may well be at that apex of his career, that this is as good as it's going to get for him. If you're looking at Houston and you say, you know, Daryl Morey down there can't seem to get it right with his team. He already blew out Kevin McHale. Is Houston looking at their roster and saying, you know, we should be parting with this player or that player? I can't imagine that James Harden is going to go anywhere. But if you're trading away Dwight Howard and you're James Harden, are you going to be of the mindset that, you know what, I want to leave here? If you're the Miami Heat, you have some interesting pieces. You have some players that are towards the end of their career. You have expiring contracts, which are very valuable. For a team like the Suns, it's not going anywhere. If you can figure out a way to get rid of some of the baggage here on this roster and get back an expiring contract or two, Luol Deng or Chris Anderson, then why would you not at least listen to that? If there's a team like the Boston Celtics that's overloaded with draft picks, why would you not try to do something with the Celtics here before the trade deadline is complete? My point is, this should be a week where the Suns do something. Have they not figured out that this is broke again? Have they not figured out that the time to make moves is now? I'm all for them continuing to lose. Winning does them no good here in 2016. It only hurts their chances of being a top three team in the lottery. It really does. I mean, you should not be happy by going to see a Suns game, watching a Suns game, to see them win a game from here forward. They should lose everything going forward. They really should. I know it sounds crazy, but if you're going to stink, you've come this far, you don't ever want to be in this place again. Ever. So this week is the week. Turn it upside down. And, you know, I look at their roster and some of the teams that are out there, like Minnesota. We hear this, well, when Tim Duncan retires, then maybe the Suns will have a chance in San Antonio when Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Tim Duncan are no longer there. No, because Kawhi Leonard's a freaking all-star. Well, when Kevin Durant leaves Oklahoma City, really? If Kevin Durant were on the all-star game the other night on the court at the same time with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, I'd want to see that. And his name's been talked about in the Bay Area already. So you can't sit there and say, well, we hope that some of these teams start to break down. You've got to be the team to figure out a way that is in bad a shape as you are to draw some of the guys to come here. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but you have to start at some point in time. And there's some big pieces that you can get out there right now. I don't think Ricky Rubio's the answer here. I don't know if Dwight Howard's the answer here, Brook Lopez or Blake Griffin. Fill in the blank on some of these other names that are out there. But I do think the Clippers are a team that I would talk to. There's a lot that's being talked about, written about, rumblings that if the Clippers don't make it far into the postseason, the Doc is gone. Are they a team that's looking at some complementary parts here? The complementary parts here, Markieff Morris is a complementary part. PJ Tucker is a complementary part. So try to do something this week, but I think the first big step for fans is a sigh of relief if Markieff is the one that has moved out of here. To more pleasant matters, I think tomorrow when the Diamondbacks take the field, actually Thursday, they report tomorrow, and then they talk about reporting. Guys are already there. But when the first practice starts, the conversation about baseball is going to take on a level that we haven't heard here in a few years. When you have Hall of Famers like Tony La Russa putting the pieces together, you knew it was just a matter of time before there'd be the buzz and the excitement and the TV money that we've talked about that they were able to go get Zach Greinke. Well, now they've come this far. And the next great thing here in town, I think, is going to be the Diamondbacks in spring training and then the Cardinals and what they're going to do in free agency. So those are some of the things on my mind today. DJ Foster is going to join us next in studio. Former Arizona State Sun Devil running back slash wide receiver or wide receiver slash running back. He is going to the NFL Combine next week. The local boy from Saguaro High School makes good. DJ Foster, he joins us next. Welcome back. Of course, the NFL Combine is next week in Indianapolis. I'll be there going through all the Combine stuff that happens, the poking, the prodding, the players, all of that, not just the Cardinals, but also players from around our great state, speaking of which we have DJ Foster with us from ASU, but most notably Saguaro. So, I'm just kidding.
I'll give you that.
So you're going next week. Mm-hmm. What's your schedule going to be like next week?
Yeah, I fly out to Indianapolis around Tuesday, and from there on out till Saturday, it's just work and doing interviews to medical exams. I mean, just talking to a lot of guys that have done it in the past. I mean, it's a stressful week, but I mean, I'm excited for it. It's a great opportunity to go down there and compete with a bunch of the top guys in the country and to talk to a lot of scouts and coaches and GMs and perform in front of all of them.
What are you most looking forward to?
Running routes. I mean, I'm going in as a receiver, and I know it's been a lot of bounce back and forth. I went to the Senior Bowl as a running back, and I'm going to the Combine as a receiver. So be able to go out there and kind of run routes and stuff that I've been working on the last month or two with some of the top receivers in the country will be fun just to stack and compare.
Why receiver after the Senior Bowl running back? What are you hearing, or is it just showing your versatility?
Mm-hmm. Showing my versatility. I mean, I've played both all the last 4 years, a little bit of both back and forth, and going into this last year, my senior being a full-time wide receiver, the NFL invited me as a wide receiver to the Combine. So, I mean, it ended up working good. I mean, I got to show both skills at the Senior Bowl. I could still play running back, and as well, I can go in at the Combine and do receiver drills and whatnot. So it's a good way for me to show both.
I think, DJ, last summer we started hearing the name Percy Harvin attached to DJ Foster, and I'm not big on that stuff, just myself.
Right.
Because DJ Foster is DJ Foster, Percy Harvin's Percy Harvin.
Exactly.
As you're going into this Combine, what message do you want to get across to teams about your versatility? Do you bring up, hey, I've done running back, I've done what? They know that, but you want to exude the confidence that whatever you're looking at me, guys, I can do both.
Yep. A lot of times when I get asked that question, I tell scouts and coaches, I'm a running back that can play wide receiver. And I like to make that clear because I truly believe that's where my first, what I know best is running back. But I can play wide receiver, you know. And I mean, over the years, I mean, I've learned so much at the wide receiver position. I mean, this past year with my coaching staff and stuff, just opening a whole new world for me. I mean, but I'm a running back at the end of the day. I played that for 15 years of my life, but I can play wide receiver. So I like to add that in so coaches know, I mean, I can go to the slot, I can be moved out wide, and I have the film to show it as well.
And you can play special teams, too.
And I can play special teams, yeah.
I don't want you to forget that.
No, that's the best important one,
too. You got to be all over the place.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Your Arizona State experience, so there was much made this last season about how they weren't using you enough or you weren't seeing the ball enough, yet you credit them for your growth to come to this point. Why don't you address that a little bit? Because some people were on me saying, why is he not seeing the ball enough? This is going to hurt him for the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it was an adjustment year. We lost a lot of receivers last year, especially our main receiver, Jalen Strong. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I mean, going into this season, I talked to Coach Norvell and Coach Graham. And for me, being that adding that receiver role to my game and can help me out for my next chapter in the NFL, which, I mean, I could go in there and play full-time receiver if a team needs me to. Having that experience this last year has helped me make that adjustment to this next kind of time of my life. I mean, instead of playing running back, going to this next level, and then they switch me to receiver, trying to learn everything on the go. It's a tough thing. But at the time, it was just best for our team. I mean, we lost a lot of guys out there, and they seen what I could do at receiver over the last couple of years. So, I mean, just so I could add some depth out there. And, I mean, there's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of struggle. But personally, I mean, I went into it with, I mean, open arms. I mean, I learned so much from that perspective of the game that, I mean, I wouldn't trade in. But, I mean, it was a rough season. I mean, we had a lot of stuff missing and stuff. But, I mean, overall, I mean, I definitely enjoyed my time at ASU, and it was a great couple of years for me.
It's kind of like getting your Ph.D.
Yeah.
You knew you were going to be a pro football player. Mm-hmm. So this last year, you just had to even go that much further, refine your game and take it to a new level, learning a new skill.
Exactly. And that's what I feel like. I mean, that's what I take from the experience. I mean, a lot of people say, I mean, I didn't get the stats, I didn't get the touches that I want. I mean, that may be true, but I mean, that wasn't my focus. I mean, as a team, I mean, when you're a senior especially, you want to win. Mm-hmm. you don't have many opportunities. This is it. Every game you go out there, that's the last time you're going to play that opponent. And I mean, I just wanted to win. We didn't get that as well, but I mean, I made a lot of great friendships, and I know how talented that team was. I mean, and it stuck sometimes that it won't show, the record doesn't show that, but that was a talented team. But and I know there's a lot of talented guys still there that I can't wait to go back and watch this upcoming year.
What are you hearing about NFL draft grade for you in terms of round right mm-hmm. now?
It can be from second to fourth. I mean, a lot of it depends on how I work out. I mean, because there's a lot of question marks on me because they haven't seen me. I mean, in that wide receiver form, going out there and just catching the ball and running routes. So I'm excited to go out there and perform and show that and showcase all those skills that I know I have. So, I mean, from the 40 to vertical, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that a lot of scouts and teams are curious about, and I can't wait to go out there and show it next week.
What's your number you want to hit in the 40? It's going to make you...
Yeah, 4-4 some. If I can hear 4-4 some, I'll be happy. So, yeah. I mean, I'm just working on the technique every day, and I know I have the ability to run that. I mean, you just got to... It's got to be the perfect race sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. Go down there, have confidence, techniques right, stances right, and just let it go.
You're working with Brett Fisher, who's one of the best, mm-hmm. In my opinion. There's lots of guys out there. And if you're not Brett and you're one of those guys, yeah. Don't take it personal. He just is one of the best. So,
he is. So
you're working out here locally with him. What are they working with you on in terms of skill to get better for the combine?
Yeah, for me, I've never in my life had a receiver coach, had a receiver technique taught to me. So that was my main stress. I mean, knowing that I'm going to the combine as a receiver, there's a lot of specific routes and footwork that blew my mind that I didn't even know. Mm. So, I mean, it's kind of unbelievable that I played a whole year, kind of had no clue what I was doing to a certain extent. So that this past couple of months, I mean, just been working on that, just understanding footwork, understanding timing with the quarterback. And it's nice that Burko's working out with me as well, Mike. So, I mean, for our pro day, we've already been throwing the last couple months. So just working on the little fine details of being a receiver and being a route runner. I mean, that's what I've been stressing this last couple of months, so I can have a little confidence going into the combine.
You picked an agent. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of a high school recruiting process. It was funny.
I'm the guy. Look at me. Yeah. Look at me. Look at me. I can do this for you. Yeah. I can do that for you.
Except now they're on the other end. They're telling kind of what they can do for me and stuff mm-hmm. instead of, I mean, so it was a funny process, but I found my agent a long time ago. It was through a friend, and mm-hmm. he just kind of chipped away. I mean, every time I talked to him, he just said the right things, kind of stuff that I believe, faith, family, and football, and developing as a man, and not only helping you in football exactly, but other aspects of life. So his name is Demarius Bilbo, and he's done a great job for me, Revolution Sports, and I'm excited to be with them, and they've done a great job helping me out throughout this process so far.
Is there going to be a moment next week when you're sitting across from a certain coach or a certain general manager saying, oh my gosh, I'm sitting across from fill in the blank. I can't believe I'm sitting here in this space.
Yes and no. So weird. I don't watch too much football. I've never been a big football mm-hmm. watcher unless it's watching film or stuff. But I'm more of a players and stuff. I mean, even for me, going to the Senior Bowl, seeing guys like Braxton Miller, guys I just heard the name stuff, that was more fun being around. I mean, I got to, our team was coached by the Cowboys staff, so it was cool being around kind of those guys, seeing Jerry Jones and stuff around, walking around practice, and so it was cool seeing those, putting a face to those big names you've heard your whole life, so it was fun. But I mean, there's no specific team. I mean, just to be able to sit in front of a staff is definitely a great opportunity, and I'm excited for it.
Have you thought yet about draft day?
No. There's too much work to be done. There's mm-hmm. too much stuff in front of me. I think after my pro day, I'll kind of take a step back and kind of reflect on just the journey. I mean, it goes by fast. I mean, just January 2nd, I had a bowl game, and every day has been training up till then. So just to enjoy every step of the process, and then I'll look back and just reflect, and I'll be waiting for April, end of April to come, and enjoy that day with my family and friends.
Because the way it works is there's the combine next mm-hmm. week. Your pro day, do you know the date on that yet?
March 4th, I believe.
Yep. And that's at Arizona State?
Yep, I'll be at ASU.
And then individual workouts, you're mm-hmm. going to go be flown around and piece yep. of meat, you know, they're going to beat into you and do this, do that. How do you think you're going to do at the board? So what I've heard from a lot of GMs mm-hmm. is we see talented football players all the time, but we get them in front of the board and they have no idea about the game of football.
Right.
How do you think you're going to do at the board? Have you practiced that?
Oh, yeah, I think very well. I mean, especially going from running back to receiver to running back and mm-hmm. forth, I think I'm bringing a different aspect, being able to talk about the box, be able to talk about a defensive line when it comes to blitzes and protections, and also now going out to the wide receiver position, being able to read coverages, being able to see what corners are doing, and that stuff that, I mean, not a lot of people have both aspects of that. I mean, I know that's a big thing. I mean, on linemen in the NFL need to know what the corners are doing just in case they see a blitz. So for me, being able to see the game in two different aspects of that over the last couple of years, I think will help me out a lot.
Good luck next week. Have fun with it.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
It's DJ Foster here in studio with us. We appreciate his time. And we're back with more after this timeout. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona continues next. It's always good to start spring training off by visiting with Bob Nightingale, USA Today national baseball columnist, someone I've known for 25 plus years as we get ready for yet another spring training. Bob, always good to catch up with you. What are you most looking forward to in this year's spring training in Arizona?
Yeah, I think just how everything comes together, particularly the National League West with the Arizona, of course, with Greinke and Shelby Miller there, you know, the Dodgers having the, you know, so much surplus, but missing that star power in that rotation. And, of course, the Giants bringing in the two new guys in the rotation with Johnny Cueto and Justin Marja. I think the West race should be fascinating this year.
You know, let's stick with the Diamondbacks then. So the expectations are with all the money that Ken and Derek and Tony and Dave Stewart have thrown at Greinke from the television contract that this should be a season. But I think they've done a nice job in addressing the other parts of it with Shelby Miller and down to the bullpen with Tyler Clippard. Are there holes still that you see, though, with the Diamondbacks?
Well, you know, we'll see about second base. I thought Howie Kendrick would have been a great addition there. They chose not to give up the draft pick. You know, that would have a you know, keeping from the Dodgers too would have been very nice. Otherwise, you know, you wonder about the bullpen. The bullpen, you know, they could still use some more depth there. They did make a nice addition by grabbing Tyler Clippard. Then, of course, the back end rotation, just who steps up and wins those spots.
Because right now it sounds like, I mean, you tell me, Shelby Miller, somebody that Tony La Russa was familiar with in St. Louis, but is he a true number two in your mind in this National League race?
Well, he better be for, you know, for what they gave up for him. Mm-hmm. He better be a very solid guy. You know, he you know, had a horrible win-loss record, but yet, you know, low ERA, you know, came up to the Cardinals organization that was not on their postseason roster or didn't pitch in the playoffs 2 years ago. Then kind of took a major stride last year with Atlanta. So I think for the Diamondbacks to win the West, it's imperative for him to step up and be a true number two. Or else I think there's going to be some problems.
I tell you, Bob, I'm kind of curious to see where Archie Bradley is in this whole mix, because a year ago there was so much hype in Pub, and maybe there was just nobody else to hype in Pub to get the season off and running. And now when we are in conference calls with Dave Stewart about guys and talking about rotation and everything, he's barely even brought up with this team now.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who was so hyped and maybe too hyped, you know, and talked about maybe making the team a couple of years ago in a spring training. And then it's kind of dropped off the map a little bit. I think it's a big year for him to step up, or else, you know, they'll probably have to move him. Remember, this is the guy the Diamondbacks dangled to the Dodgers a year ago for Matt Kemp. Mm-hmm. And Dodgers could have had Bradley, and they passed too. They elected to dump off Kemp with the San Diego Padres. So his stock has dropped. It's up to him to change some people's minds.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today national baseball columnist, with us for a couple minutes. So if you look over at the Giants, you talked about Cueto earlier. You look at Samardzija, you look at the Dodgers, you look at, is there enough pitching between San Francisco and L.A. to take down Arizona? What's your view of those two teams versus what the Diamondbacks have done in the offseason?
Well, I like what the Giants have done. Yeah, I think Jeff Samardzija is the guy with a question mark to see whether he can put aside what happened last year when he struggled so badly with the White Sox. But I think he'll return that split-finger pitch into his arsenal. And I think, you know, hey, when you pitch the National League West, it's so much easier than the American League. You know, Jake Peavy showed us that a couple of years ago when he was struggling so badly with the Boston Red Sox. They came like a Cy Young type guy with the Giants in that pennant stretch of 2 years ago. So, in Johnny Cueto, you know, pitching the bandbox in Cincinnati, he should be much improved with San Francisco. So I think going to the season on paper, you know, San Francisco will be the team to beat.
And the rest of the West, San Diego's going through transition. Colorado has some nice pieces. Do you think either one of those are going to make a push here in 2016?
I don't see it. I think the year's away, particularly the Rockies. I mean, mm-hmm. you got Arenado, who's such a stud at third base. You know, he's almost like the Paul Goldschmidt at first base of Diamondbacks, just kind of forgotten about it and overlooked because the teams haven't done well. But, you know, he's as good as any third baseman in the game. But without the pitching, I think they're years away from competing. The Padres, you know, they already kind of tipped their hand what they're trying to do. When they let Justin Upton walk away, when they trade away Kimbrel, I expect him to keep on trading away pieces, you know, come July with the Tyson Ross and the catcher.
USA Today national baseball columnist Bob Nightingale with us. I want to turn the attention, Bob, over to just the Cactus League in general and the growth of this and what's going on here in Arizona. You have the defending World Series champions out at Surprise. You have the Cubs that are just drawing huge crowds. You have some stadiums that are going through and some communities are going through some searching of, do they want to build their stadiums out to attract more? I think Mesa there with the A's and where they are. What do you make out of just spring training in Arizona versus Florida?
Well, certainly there are newer and nicer stadiums in Arizona. I mean, nothing's going to touch the Diamondbacks and Rockies facility. Even the new one that the Astros and Nationals are building together, you ask those people, they say, yeah, it's nice, but nothing will ever compare to the Taj Mahal that Arizona and Colorado share. You know, what a beautiful stadium. And it's so easy to get around. I mean, in Florida, you know, you can spend 6-7 weeks in Florida and not running anybody because it's so spread out. You're talking about, you know, possibly 3-4 hour drives. Where you go to Arizona, you go to a few different, you know, restaurants and bars, you'll see half the Cactus League together. And it's just a great place to be. And the players would tell you, you know, they much rather train in Arizona. You know, they wish they had the water in Florida. There's a couple sites in Florida that people love, you know, whether it's a Sarasota or a Tampa. But there's a lot of places that people just can't stand, like in Dunedin, and where the Blue Jays are. It's just you're talking about facilities that were around in Arizona about 30, 40 years ago.
And I think if you look this year, and we're just going to get specific on the West side, so how do you think that's worked out for Cleveland and Cincinnati and Texas and Kansas City and San Diego and Seattle, the West side, and the Brewers too in Maryville? How's that worked out, do you think, in terms of proximity, attraction for players and fans being on the West side?
Well, I mean, you talk to different people like Jerry Reinsdorf of the White Sox, and, you know, there's too many teams on the west side of town. You know, you could probably use more teams on the east side of town. That's where people go, the fun places, the money and everything else. Now, where Seattle and Padres are in Peoria is different. And they built it up nice where you can walk to different restaurants and bars after games and before a game, but nowhere else on the west side. You know, I mean, Cincinnati, they've seen what the Baltimore Orioles did in Sarasota, and they missed that. It's just kind of a graveyard out there. And then, you know, Dodgers and White Sox have a nice facility, but just there's no place for people to go and hang out before or after games. And, you know, Surprise, you know, a couple of little things starting to build up around there. But it takes a while. I think people got so spoiled with what happened in Peoria, they thought would happen in the other sites, and that just hasn't happened.
Kansas City, give me a thumbnail on what you're looking forward to seeing about them in spring.
Well, you know, it's like, what else do you have to prove? You know, everybody keeps running them off year after year. They've been, you know, been a back-to-back World Series. You know, one of them won the one last year. And, you know, now they have Alex Gordon returning. There's no reason in the world why they can't be back. You know, that American League is so wide open. You know, they have as good a chance as anybody. So it's a fun team to watch. They play like a National League style of game. If they're the National League, you know, they'd have a great, great year also. So they just play the game right, and they play it fun. And there's no better defensive team in the game.
Texas.
You know, these guys, there's no reason why they can't win the AL West. Fun group to be around, more of a power-hitting team. Of course, we'll see how Josh Hamilton looks. You know, he's a big question mark every spring, and now back with the Rangers. You know, if you go watch the Texas Rangers, go look at third baseman Adrian Beltre. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame when he 5 years after he retires. Just a true, true great player who's been kind of overlooked because he hasn't been in the national spotlight in a while.
Thumbnail on Cleveland here in spring training, what you're looking forward to.
Brian, this could be the biggest surprise in all of baseball. Last year, people were jumping on that bandwagon. It was a little too early. they got a great, great young rotation, you know, from top to bottom. They, you know, Corey Kluber, Carrasco, Salazar, and on and on. You know, Trevor Bauer used to be with the Diamondbacks. Now we'll see if they can score enough runs. But of all the teams in baseball, this team could be the biggest surprise.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, they're rebuilding. It's going to be like the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, we'll see how take a look at Jay Bruce. I'm not sure how long Max Lunger is going to be there because he's still on the trade block. They tried to trade Brandon Phillips a couple times, but he loved Cincinnati so much he didn't want to leave. And so very interesting that he's there. Nobody ever thought he would be. But these two teams, Milwaukee and Cincinnati, both in full rebuilding modes.
Throw a couple more teams at you. I'll let you go, and appreciate your time. San Diego.
You know, it's they're kind of in the middle right now. They're not really rebuilding, but they're not really going for it. So I think scouts will be around there a lot this spring, looking at you know, Andrew Cashner, Tyson Ross, and seeing what's available. You know, who else can the guys get? So I think this will be a key team for teams to watch, because I think once they establish their value and look good in spring training, they can be moving anytime.
What's going on in Tempe with the Angels from your view?
You know, they're really watching the luxury tax. They view it almost as a solid salary cap. They don't want to go over $189 million. You know, a lot of people thought Cespedes would end up there or Upton or somebody like that. So, you know, you're going to rely on what brought them a year ago. And I think the rotation, you know, we'll see what C.J. Wilson can do. He struggled last year. And a big year for Jared Weaver. I mean, Weaver signed that badly undervalued contract a couple of years ago and has struggled with age and velocity. I think this spring will be a huge spring for Weaver just to see where he fits into that rotation.
Last question. When you look at Rob Manfred and he comes into this year, what are your biggest concerns to him about the game?
Well, it'll be interesting off the field stuff. I mean, between the haves and have-nots, once again, there's such a growing disparity. The free agent market, you know, when you have such a penalty put on with the draft choices on guys like, you know, Upton and Gallardo and Dexter Fowler and nothing on a guy like David Price, you know, you kind of scratch your head. So that's going to have to change. I don't see any type of work stoppage whatsoever, but I think there's going to be movement as far as what to do there. I don't see the DH coming to National League, but I do see it coming into interleague games, or maybe a year from now we'll see a DH every time the National League and American League play one another. But I don't see the DH coming straight to the National League for at least another 5 or 10 years.
As always, I appreciate the time and insight. I'll see you out at the stadium. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Brett.
It's always good to catch up with Bob Nightingale there with USA Today, and very much appreciate his thoughts and insights. We covered some bad teams together in San Diego. Man, oh, man, there were some nights where it's like, whew. I signed up for this in my 20s. Ay, ay, ay. But beats working, right? Okay, on the other side, I'm going to talk about the Coyotes in last night because it's just too good of a story. And I want to circle back on some of the conversation around the NBA trade deadline. And U of A plays ASU in basketball tomorrow. So people at U of A are all worked up about Bobby Hurley and how it ended here when U of A was up here. And of course they are. We'll get into that on the other side, too, as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. By the way, if you miss any part of today's show, it repeats over and over and over here on Sports360AZ.com. Sports360AZ.com. We are Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Things that we see going on in the sports community here in Arizona. We have a national spin to us as well. But I like to tell people that when they ask, Brad, why did you walk away from Channel 3 and not do radio? And that's because digital's where it is, guys. All of you have one of these with you right now, right? All of you do. You know you do. And this is where we are. This is our first screen. You're watching us on the second screen or third screen. But our website is right here at sports360az.com. And there's content up there, written videos, things that are going on around the world of sports here in Arizona, and some of the stuff, slice of life. I like to tell people that we are the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. And you drive out of your way to go to Sprouts and Whole Foods because you like the quality of it. It's a little bit higher. So that's where we are. There was a terrific story that was written by Sarah McClellan over at AZ Central. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Some of you are watching us on their website as well. We partnered with them over the last 2 years. She wrote last night about Nathan Schoenfeld, and I saw this on Twitter. I was busy last night on a bunch of projects and had a sick sun, you know, that 102-degree temperature stuff. So I wasn't sitting there watching the Coyotes game start to finish. The Nathan Schoenfeld story that Sarah was documenting, she wrote about it last night. Guy was at home bathing his five-week-old twin boys, and he gets a phone call. And Stan Wilson, the Coyotes head equipment manager, sent him a text around 6 p.m. to let him know the backup goalie may have suffered an injury. So he had to get over to the arena. He's the emergency goaltender. And he got there in time on the bench. He told Sarah, "I don't know if I have words quite yet. It will probably take a bit to soak in. Just go home and sit back with the family and enjoy the night." His dad, of course, remember Jim Schoenfeld? That's why I saw the name. It's like, okay, that makes sense. But the guy is working in banking. So by day, he's doing banking. And so that's the thing, guys. You never know when that opportunity is going to roll along to you. And are you ready for the phone call? Imagine this. He gets a phone call. Then I had some people said he looks kind of like me. I don't know. We're not going to play that game today, the separated birth game. We like doing that, but we're not going to do that today. So I like that story a great deal. And the Coyotes won. They beat Montreal last night. Tomorrow in Tucson, tomorrow's a busy day. Every day here in Arizona is a busy day. But tomorrow we have the Diamondbacks reporting. And tomorrow night we have Arizona and Arizona State in Tucson. I've seen both teams in person. I have seen quite a few games because I'm one of the five that has the Pac-12 network here in the Valley. I've seen quite a bit of U of A. And they're getting better. And I think that they do have enough. Kadeem Allen, to me, is the key guy there. Along with their guard play, but they've got enough size. They can do something in the postseason this year. This was going to be a transition year for Bobby Hurley. I think it's even been a transition year for him as a coach. Watching him, you forget. Bobby Hurley has only coached about 70, 75 games in his career. He has not coached a whole lot of games, just game action. So when the Sun Devils played U of A last month, and it was a game most people didn't see because it was on a Sunday on New Year's weekend opposite the NFL. Great scheduling. I don't know who, you know, the Pac-12 comes up with this stuff. But it was a day game, too. It was like at 12. 12 on a Sunday, really, for this game? So Bobby gets thrown out of that game, and it was fine. It was fine by me. He's not been happy with the officiating this season. Most coaches aren't. They have their own way of expressing it. But it seems like every game he grows more and more exasperated. And I'm sure that people have talked to him to try to calm him down. This will be his first trip down to Tucson for a game. The day that Bobby Hurley was hired, and some of you that watch the show on a regular basis know where I'm going with this, some of you in the media know where I'm going with this. The day that he was hired, Michael Crow jumped in on the press conference to cut off a writer in Tucson and said, "Oh, you're just here to cause trouble. You're a Tucson writer," which was just ridiculous. That's the only way I can put it. It was embarrassing. And Bobby kind of looked at him like, you know, I've done the Duke, North Carolina thing. I think this is probably a little bit easier. And it is, because it hasn't really been a rivalry other than the colors on the jerseys. But this will be Bobby's first taste in Tucson. Since he got thrown out of that game, though, whenever I run into somebody, and even people within the athletic department at the U of A, "Oh my gosh, Bobby Hurley acted so like a little child." Relax. I'd rather have a coach that wears it on his sleeve when he's going with a group of kids that aren't his to begin with, and he's trying to get the most out of them. U of A should win by 40 tomorrow night. And Bobby's going to be able to tell people, yeah, there's not much difference between Duke, North Carolina, and ASU, U of A in terms of environment. I have to believe that it's probably 100 times greater intensity on Tobacco Road than it is on I-10 between Picacho Peak and Phoenix and Tucson. It's not a swipe at our state. Just, I've been here 20 plus years. When you go to big, big time rivalry games in college basketball, it's because you never know who's going to win. And most times, even though in recent years, even during Herb's year, they'd sneak one out here or there. So I am looking forward to that game tomorrow night. That'll be fun. And what the Suns are going to do, they've got to do something here before the deadline. They've got to, unless they feel like we're going to stink enough with what we have and we can get the lottery pick by not making any change. But there's no reason to have Markieff here after Thursday. There's none. Zero. Call Detroit. Work a deal. Get him out of here. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website at sports360AZ.com. Tonight, we'll have our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sismat, Football AZ. We'll have tonight Charles Davis, DJ Foster, Vince Amy, the former Sun Devil, now U of A defensive line coach, on the show tonight. And we'll focus in on the movie Race with Stephon James on Jesse Owens. I'll have a sit down with him. That's all tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Thanks for being with us.